guys think about this Jared? He's ish, right?
No, he's pretty sharp.
Yeah, he does that no one else in the house can do.
Yeah, but he's a know-it-all. I mean, I don't think there's room in here for him.
Well, there will be after Richard gets rid of Big Head. He's a lightweight at everything. Brings nothing to the table.
But he's a great guy.
Great guy, but useless.
Yeah, he is a great guy. Not like that Jared. At least we can all agree on that.
I mix what I like.
Yeah. This is it, my head. This defines me.
I mix what I like.
Turn my mic up. Let's do it. Spivot of Marcus Garvey, Fabar Muhammad, Mega Everson, Bob Marley. I'm God body.
I mix what I like. I mix what I like.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me. Us. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Once you are enslaved and once you are in servitude, you have no moral obligation to the people who have enslaved you. In enslaving you, they have freed you of all moral obligation because the nature of their enslavement of you says that you are without humanity, without manhood, without womanhood, without dignity. And anything you do to get those things back is morally justified.
The struggle for survival in the United States is the handling of this never-ending tension between the institutional values of race, gender, and wealth, which give undue and unearned privileges and advantages to some so that others cannot compete on an equal basis for the resources of this country.
Our people have resisted for 413 years in this wilderness, and they resisted for this generation to carry out what must be done. We cannot fail our ancestors.
I mix what I like.
There's already so much evidence that we are waking up, beginning to acknowledge the reality. Something stinks.
If we are going to have to fight, we're going to have to struggle, we're going to have to struggle relentlessly to bring about the peace, because the people that we're asking for peace, they are a bunch of megalomaniac warmongers, and they don't even understand what peace means. So we've got to fight them, we've got to struggle with them to make them understand what peace means.
Everybody knows that all the people don't have liberty, all the people don't have freedom, all the people don't have justice, and all the people don't have power, so that means none of us do. Take this country and change it. Turn it upside down and put the last first and the first last.
The preservation of history is a primary responsibility of any people.
There is only one answer. Only one answer. Revolution. Full revolution.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yes, indeed. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to WPFW 89.3 FM. Yours truly, Jared Ball, back in the building. I Mix What I Like is the show. imixwhatilike.org for more information on this show and more. I Mix What I Like on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. If you want to follow, if you want to get at us, imixwhatilike@gmail.com. If you want to email the program and offer your comments and responses, we welcome all of that. Dr. Boulder, Dr. Hayter's in the building, my man. Welcome back. And as we were saying, as Dr. Burroughs was telling us, as we were saying, a lot to get into this morning. We have a big program. Good to be back on here with you, Dr.
Yeah, Hayden. Man. It's always a good day to go to war.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And unfortunately, it's always a good day to hate.
Always a good day to hate. Always a good day to hate. Yes, indeed. And a lot to hate on. So we've been out for a little bit. We're going to get right back into it. To respect her schedule, we're going to get right into our first guest, Dr. Sakivu Hutchinson, who has written a piece in response to the Donald Sterling recent controversy that was published on the LA Progressive or LAProgressive.com called The Sterling Shuffle, Unpacking White Jewish Racism. We know that she is not only a professor, but she is also a parent and has a schedule. You know, she's got a tight schedule getting her child off to the school in the morning. But just very quickly, Dr. Sakivu Hutchinson is a senior intergroup specialist for the Los Angeles County Human Relations Commission. She is the author of Imagining Transit, Race, Gender, and Transportation Politics in Los Angeles, Moral Combat, Black Atheists, Gender Politics, The Value Wars, and the recently released book, Godless Americana, Race and Religious Rebels. You can also find her work from time to time at blackagendareport.com. Dr. Hutchinson, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Ball. How are you?
I'm as good as could be expected, and we thank you for joining us. We know you're in a little bit of a time crunch, and we appreciate that, and thank you very much. Well, let me just ask you straight out. Just give us an overview for those who haven't had a chance to read the article. What is it that you meant to say what is it that you said in The Sterling Shuffle, Unpacking White Jewish Racism?
Okay. Well, before I begin, I have to invoke a bit of a disclaimer in terms of my employer that anything that I say here is not representative of the Human Relations Commission.
Okay.
And I wanted to preface my comments about the article with that because I actually got a little bit of a backlash.
Oh, I see. I see it online already. Absolutely.
About that.
Okay. You don't say, Dr. Hutchinson. You don't say backlash. Was it
so
literal?
Let me just put that out there emphatically that these are my personal views that right. I'm expressing this morning.
But well studied as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, essentially, I wanted to try and highlight a few things that I did not see being foregrounded in the mainstream media. Looking specifically through the lens of the trajectory of white Jewish immigrants in the United States and the degree to which there has always been this fundamental tension between African Americans and white Jewish communities. And there's always been, of course, due to the legacy of the civil rights movement and labor activism, this illusion of solidarity amongst and between African Americans and white Jewish communities. And I think that the Sterling comments and the degree to which they were very much steeped in a Eurocentric paternalist and white supremacist ethos that informs, unfortunately, a lot of views amongst white ethnic immigrants and other white ethnic populations about African Americans, that somehow African Americans are subservient, that we're pathological, we're shiftless, that we rely upon the largesse of other more bootstrapping, enterprising, and individualist ethnic communities, be they white or of color, and that we're essentially, you know, doing their bidding. And I wanted to bring out the fact that, of course, you know, Sterling is one of the largest developers and landholders in L.A., and he is coming from, obviously, a very privileged position in terms of owning the Clippers, having this plantation mentality, but also, you know, having this immigrant background, you know, coming from Boyle Heights. And Boyle Heights was historically a predominantly Jewish community. It became a predominantly Latino Mexican-American community after the institutionalization of New Deal provisions and entitlements, you know, that really facilitated upward mobility for white ethnic and other white communities. Sterling was a beneficiary of that. You know, he changed his name from Tokowitz to Sterling. Again, became, you know, this vassal lord in L.A. And what is not often recognized and acknowledged is that this upward mobility, this trajectory was, again, you know, propelled by very specific programs like the FHA, a loan program, you know, which was instituted during the 1930s as a means of stabilizing capitalism, enfranchising primarily white ethnics and white Christian, you know, populations, and allowing them to basically buy into the American dream by getting affordable home loans, by moving into suburbs, which were becoming increasingly more available due to the implementation of the Interstate Highway Act of 1955, which was, you know, a massive public works program that essentially created the map of white suburban America. So you had FHA loans, you had the GI Bill loans, you know, which provided primarily European-American returning servicemen with job training, with college assistance, with home loans. And these were being administered by very segregationist organizations and institutions like the American Legion under the aegis of the Veterans Administration, which at that point in time was very Southern-dominated. And so we have this whole sort of constellation of entitlements and provisions that really articulate contemporary paradigms of whiteness, allowing previously reviled white ethnics like Jews, like the Irish, like Italian Americans to gain purchase onto the concept and the reality of modern American whiteness and to deeply invest in notions and ideologies of white supremacy.
Again, we're joined by Dr. Sakivu Hutchinson. This is I Mix What I Like here on WPFW. I'm Jared Ball. We got Dr. Haight in the building as well, helping us out. And later on in the program, we're going to be joined by Joe Torres of Free Press to have a very important discussion about internet or network neutrality and what's being done to get rid of that and how it particularly impacts so-called communities of color or communities of so-called color. That particular issue not getting enough coverage or discussion. We're talking now with Dr. Hutchinson about her piece in the LA Progressive in response to the recent upheaval around Donald Sterling, the Sterling Shuffle, unpacking white Jewish racism. Why this particular focus, Dr. Hutchinson? I mean, I saw a lot of the comments. This is something that generally happens all the time when this issue comes up, and you know, claims of anti-Semitism, of you know, this incessant need among certain elements of the community to focus on Jews in particular. Why did you make this particular point, or why did you see this as being particularly necessary?
Well, I saw it as being particularly necessary given the complex demographics of L.A. in particular, because of, again, there was this historic coalition, you know, between African Americans and Jewish Americans. Don't want to in any way dismiss that. But that, in my mind, has been superseded contemporarily by the fact that African Americans in L.A. are the most hyper-segregated population, that we have been consigned to a very small geographic area of South Los Angeles and South Central. And the reason for this consignment is precisely these historical legacies of restrictive covenants, of redlining, of the institutionalization of, you know, all of these policies and entitlements that favored white ethnics and white Anglos at our expense. And so we're seeing, you know, increasingly, vociferously, this rhetoric, you know, that keeps coming out from, you know, the GOP and the religious right and the Tea Party, that African Americans have not utilized, you know, all of the bounties and all of the benefits of the American dream, of American capitalism, of rugged individualism. You know, we are continuously, you know, dogged with that rank white supremacist propaganda. And Sterling personifies that kind of propaganda. So I thought it was important to really bring that forward and to look more deeply at how L.A. in particular, you know, has been informed by these historical legacies.
Well, also, if people also listen to the particularly the extended release of his tape, Sterling himself is the one that brings this into the conversation with his mistress or girlfriend, or bring this particular perspective into the conversation. I mean, he says that he evokes Israel, as you mentioned in your piece, and
right.
says that black Jews in Israel are treated as animals, I believe he said, and that this was acceptable, this was normal, this was the way it was supposed to be. And then when his girlfriend raised the question of well, how can a Jew and hold these views after having, you know, come out of the experience of the Jewish Holocaust, he says, you know, how dare you make such a comparison, and then sort of shouts her down on that point. But one thing I just wanted to read very quickly, and I'm honestly doing the best I can to be mindful of your time, and I appreciate you working with us on that. But there was one of the things that you were accused of in the comments to your piece, on top of being an anti-Semite, is misplacing your emphasis on certain scholarship, most namely the Brodkin book. But I looked up a review from a George Washington University professor of the Brodkin book, who seems to support exactly the point you seem to be making. So I just want to read this very quickly. The reviewer says of Brodkin's book about how Jews became white folks. According to Brodkin, Jewish intellectuals were a primary force behind the whitening of American Jews, a process that took firm root during the 1950s and 60s. In the post-World War II period, Jewish intellectuals reinvented Jewish immigrant culture, emphasizing its quintessentially American characteristics. This transformation of Jewishness into whiteness came at a high political price. First, in order to become white, Jewishness was cast in opposition to blackness, driving a wedge between Jews and African Americans. Second, since white privilege is intricately linked to male privilege, the Jewish quest for whiteness also redefined the Jewish man in terms of the mainstream masculine ideals. And this was, end quote. And this was one of the points that I know you were trying to raise, that in this pursuit of whiteness, this group that is often commonly associated with the black struggle, as an ally of the black struggle, made choices, some of which were clearly conscious, to separate themselves from black people in pursuit of this this preferred whiteness.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, and I want to add to the point about the way in which white Jewish communities and white Jewish developers were really instrumental in sort of mapping out a certain geographic, cultural geography of whiteness, is that you had a number of the most prominent developers in LA during the post-war period that were Jewish, and that very specifically utilized propaganda that placed themselves as intermediaries for the bidding of European American, Christian European Americans. So, for example, you had the California City Builders and the Weinstock Company, and they specifically excluded African-American homeowners and renters from their developments, and very specifically invoked this rhetoric that the, quote, Negroes will scare off the whites, and we're just simply doing the bidding of, the white European non-Jewish power structure, whilst, somehow being sympathetic to the fact that, well, African Americans are an untouchable underclass, but we're complicit, but we're not entirely in agreement, this kind of hedging, if you will. So you see that kind of rhetoric during the 1940s. It was also rhetoric that was invoked by the Levitt Company, which was basically a developer that instituted, the largest prefab suburban subdivision in Levittown, New York, historic suburban subdivision for returning GIs, and that was a Jewish-owned company. And similar rhetoric, anti-black rhetoric. So, yes, I think it's extremely important, to bring out, the complexities of these inter-ethnic dynamics, when it comes to geopolitics, within Los Angeles and other cities, that were symptomatic of the mobility process of white ethnics.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hutchinson, one of the pieces that I like is what you call attention to is how Sterling himself is anti-Semitic and identifying the strain of anti-Semitism amongst the Semites, because he clearly says black Jews, who he's defining as the Semitic people, are treated inferior to white Jews. So the illogic of racism is that the Jews themselves are anti-Semitic. And it's indeed a beautiful thing, even when you look at his NBA team and the brilliance of Vivian Stiviano, to say you have a largely black team and you don't want black people in the arena. So the illogic is perfectly illogical. And I like the way that your attention to this one thread of black Jews and their dismissal by white Jews and treatment and abuse and then torture in Israel,
right,
really right, changes the narrative that you just can't claim the victim group when you're perpetrating this war against your own Jewish people.
Mm. Exactly. It's a form of a schizoid paternalism, if you will.
Well, you know, Dr. Hutchinson, I know you have to go, but we want to share with you this breaking news that we just received today. Listeners to this program, people who know me will have heard us discuss the fact that one of the reasons why I'm particularly interested in these kind of discussions is because I'm the son of a Jewish woman and a black father. And just in this morning, my DNA test results for ethnicity and genealogical DNA testing from Ancestry.com, to the extent that this is accurate, we thought there's a couple things I thought were pretty interesting, and we will talk more about this later on, but 42% from Africa, 41% European Jewish were the overall breakdowns, and they get more specific in terms of some other regions and ethnicities. But what I in listening to this conversation, it occurred to me yet again that even according to a genetic DNA test, European Jews are isolated genetically from other communities. So in other words, this idea of a Jew is very much associated, is at times associated with a broad religion that anyone can take part in, but according to this DNA test from Ancestry.com, is a specific genetic group, which may lead to this question that Dr. Haidt is bringing up, you know, may help explain it as to why European Jews would look at black Jews in the same way Europeans tend to look, generally speaking, at non-Europeans. Anyway, just wanted to share with you that breaking news and see if that, how you, you know, saw that fitting in with your conversation.
And let me just say Molotov, my brother, Molotov.
Molotov, good things. Anyway, well, Dr. Hutchinson, again, thank you very much for joining us very quickly. Any last parting words that you have or any contact information you'd like to share? And again, we definitely want to have you back on at some point to talk about your work. I've been following over the years in black atheism and atheism in general. I'm very interested in talking more with you about that.
Absolutely. So I can be reached at shutch2396@aol.com, and my website is Sikivu Hutchinson. SikivuHutchinson.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much again for joining us, and take good care. We'll be back in touch real soon.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, everybody. We're going to continue on here at WPFW 89.3 FM. This is I Mix What I Like. I'm Dr. Jared Ball. Dr. Haidt is in the building. imixwhatilike.org for more information on this show and more. We'll be back in just a minute. And in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Joe Torres of Free Press to have a very important conversation about net neutrality and its impact on specifically on communities of so-called color. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in just a minute. Peace.
I mix what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The incredible.
I mix what I like.
The incredible.
I mix what I like. What I like.
The game back is the incredible. I'm incredible.
I mix what I like. What I like.
New to us, there's nothing to discuss, just make adjustments, time is up, this crazy world we live in, they taking, ain't no giving, consuming, not producing, we got a problem, Houston, it's worse than genocide, they get inside your mind, trick ya, you thought the finish line was 1999, didn't ya, try to save the trees, but you can't go green without that black and red, if we gon' get free, we got to change that light bulb in our head.
New beginning, ashes to ashes, dust. say that times are scary. They dollars losing value, but the hood knew that already. The price of gas been rising, at times we can't afford it. The oil supply is leaking, facing a global shortage. According to news reporters, every year it's getting warmer. These violent weather patterns, some say it's just nature's karma. They planting, they seeds of fearing, genetic engineering, interfering with the crops, and now the bees are disappearing. Don't know what is upon us, just know one thing for certain. Change is so necessary, cause they system is not working. Maybe it will take destruction to make a better world. And if that's what it takes, then I hope Babylon just keep on burning.